Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. Welcome to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministries. Tonight we're going to talk about a love story that the Lord our God has with us. Since his creation of Adam, he made Adam into a perfect being, a sinless man. But yet, he gave Adam also free will. And in Adam's free will, he did sin. And to understand why his sin became a curse upon mankind is because it was a learned behavior, you can say, a learned behavior of being rebellious and not doing what you're told. Not just against God, you could see this happening even today among children and their parents. The parents tell the child what to do, or perhaps when they get a little older and they're now teenagers, they tell them what to do, and the first thing they try to do is get out of doing it by not listening to their parents or talking disrespectfully to their parents. When you read in Genesis what Adam did when the Lord wanted him to do, he was thinking that he was going to be better, like God, when he was tempted in that sin. And he thought this was going to happen. And when it did not happen, he tried getting out of it by lying to God, blaming his wife that God gave him onto God. Very disrespectful, and who knows what kind of attitude he had when he was talking to the Lord at this time when God confronted him. We have no idea if he would have just repented right away, when his punishment may have been different. I don't know, because it didn't happen that way, because Adam was being disrespectful. And because of this learned behavior of sin that came from Adam, this is what happens. A curse has become falling on mankind. Without Christ, we behave in this selfish manner. We're selfish towards other people. We think of ourselves because we love ourselves most of all, and we think of what is good for us and good for the many. And we think of this when we do not walk with Christ, do we not now? Think about it. People out there who want to get drunk, they want to go out there and they do it. And some people, when you see how they live their lives on substance abuse with liquor or drugs, and one day they may die. And you have to think about how they wasted their life. And it is a waste of life. Anything's a waste of life if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord had a plan to bring mankind back to him, because there was no way man could redeem himself. It was impossible for a man or a woman to redeem themselves, to make them perfect, because every time a man alone or a woman alone faces temptation, they go along with the temptation and do what they want to do. But the Lord had an idea how to bring us back. At one time, he only had a covenant with Abraham and Jacob, and later on with Jacob's descendants, who are the children of Israel. And they had a covenant with the law. But the law did not bring them salvation, because every year they had to have that sacrificial lamb to wipe their sins clean. But still, in their heart was goaded to sin, because they wanted to sin. But the Lord had another idea, to have that same spiritual connection as he had in the beginning with Adam. And so he became a man. But did he become a grown man right away? Of course not. True, he could have made himself into a man right away, as he had done with Adam, but through the prophets, another way, he told his prophets that a virgin would bear a baby. This is in the Old Testament. So, he impregnated Mary. But let me make this straight, my friends, because there's some out there trying to say that God forced Mary. The Lord did not force Mary. The angel of the Lord told her about what was to happen, and she accepted it. She went along with it, with the Lord. And when she said yes, she would be the Lord's maidservant to bear the child. That's when she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And why did the Lord have to do this? Because to be a sinless man, he had to go through the same obstacles every man living upon this earth went through, which we still do today, do we not now? We go through heartbreak. We go through many temptations, peer pressure, do we not now? Even adults even have peer pressure. We always talk about children and teenagers going through peer pressure, but adults go through this too. Greed, a lust for power, a loss of someone who died, everything. And when Jesus was born upon this earth, he had to grow up in this kind of world system that was sinful. And he faced many of the temptations when he was growing up as a child, when he reached adulthood pressure. He faced the loss of a loved one before his ministry, right? He saw people die, the loss of a loved one, heartbreak, loss of a relationship. Everything that he had to go through, but he did not sin. Many times, when we face these same things I just mentioned, usually a human being like we do, we fail into it. We get mad, we get angry, we start saying things and nothing goes our way, and we tend to blame God for the bad things. Oh, we love praising God when the good things happen, but we blame him for the bad things. Never mind, there's an enemy called the devil out there who is causing destruction in your life, so to pull you away from the Lord. So the Lord, if you read your scripture, even in the Old Testament, if you notice, when you walk with him, even when bad times happen, he'll walk with you there. He'll still walk with you until the bad times are over, and he'll still be with you in the end when the good times come back. So let's all turn now to chapter 2, and let's begin the love story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world be enrolled. Sorry about that. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee and from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because of the house and the family of David to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have a child. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the field and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with an angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace of those whom he favors rest." And right here, my friends, we see the angels coming to the shepherds. If you notice, the Lord sees what's in people's heart. Did he go to the religious leaders of that time? Or did he go to the so-called king of Israel, Herod? No. The Lord wanted the announcement of the birth of Jesus to shepherds, because the Lord respects no man. He doesn't care about what title you hold. He doesn't care about if your family's been rich for centuries, and here you are, and you still have all this power. He cares about what's in your heart, because the Lord, it's all about him. It's not about personal wealth, not about your prominent families. It's about him. It's not about you. It's certainly not about me. It's about him. When you think about it and you follow the Lord, you cannot be selfish, because who are you following? Who are you praising? The Lord or yourself? If you add yourself into the equation, you're not following the Lord, because it's him you follow, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did pay this high price. He was born for this moment, as he told Pontius Pilate. And he was born for this moment, because this was the plan, that he would be the sacrificial lamb that would cleanse the world of her sins, which meant Jesus became the one who would speak up for us, the one who would go to the Father and say, "Yes, this person is a great and faithful servant to me." He became the one who spoke for you and I before the Father, because we could not do it, because we could not save ourselves. But through him, we are saved. He stands right there before the Father, talking to the Father about you and I as we live right now upon this earth. He is the one who judges us. And he is the one that gets us into heaven. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, my friend, if you see someone out there and you try to judge them about their faith or try to say they'll never be saved, you have no right to judge them. Because did you pay the high price? No, you did not pay the high price. So you cannot very well say someone out there living in the world or even in church, who you see as a church member, you cannot question who they are because you did not pay the high price upon the cross. But Jesus did, and he is the high priest. And he is also our king. And our king has the right to judge all people. Not you, not me. He didn't give us that right. And we shouldn't have that right because 10 times out of 100, I should say, if we were going to judge somebody, we would get it wrong. But the Lord knows what's in that person's heart. So the next time you see someone in church who just sits there and no one shakes their head and talks to them, you might want to go over there and talk to them and shake their head. Don't get into a clique within your church, because there's no cliques in the kingdom of heaven. And if we're all gathered together in the Lord God's church, the kingdom of heaven is right there inside, and we should not be having cliques inside the church. Everyone is welcome in the church. Everyone is important to God. Everyone, every soul that is inside your church is that important to our Lord, our God, who is Jesus Christ. Now, what was interesting about what I just read about Caesar Augustus is a little information about what they thought of Caesar during the time of Jesus' birth. The reign of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus is usually dated from 27 BC to his death in AD 14. According to Greek inscriptions, Augustus was regarded in the Roman Empire as Savior and God, and he was credited with establishing a time of peace, the Pax Augustus, throughout the Roman world during the long reign. It is not by chance that Luke, the birth of Jesus to the time of Caesar Augustus, the real Savior and peace bearer, is the child born in Bethlehem. The great emperor, simply God's agent, like the Persian king Cyrus, who provides the occasion for God's purpose to be accomplished, the whole world, that is, the Roman world, Rome, Italy, and the Roman province. And you see, God does use pagans to do his will. Augustus probably had no idea why he wanted to make it do a census around the Roman world. He just did it. And the reason why the census occurred was to get Jesus in the history books of the Roman census. This was to prove that Christ Jesus was born in Bethlehem. See what I mean? And that's what he did. And that's what God wanted. He wanted that to be recorded, because in our world, if things aren't recorded, things get lost or things don't get remembered. But you know what is interesting, my friends? That not too many people remember who Caesar Augustus was, unless you read this verse in Luke, this chapter in Luke, right? But everyone knows who Jesus is, do they not now? I'm sure Caesar Augustus believed that people today would be thinking of his name as this great God, this great man who brought peace, 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 peace. But yet, you go into any school and ask them about Caesar Augustus, they may say Caesar who, or they may remember him in this chapter of Luke as this one who did the census. And that's it. Wouldn't have any information about what kind of man Caesar Augustus was, or at what time his name happened to have been Octavian, and they wouldn't know that either. But Jesus, they know, because Jesus even said that his word will go on forever. So it doesn't matter about how many people we know who gain their power and think they're going to have lifelong dream of people remembering who they are. They won't. When I was taking a break, when I was subbing in a classroom the other day, a student asked me, what book was I reading? I told him it was a book about President Woodrow Wilson. And the student said, I never heard of him. Which I'm sure, when Woodrow Wilson was alive, he thought people would finally remember him because he was our president that led our nation during World War I. But yet, is he remembered to this day? No. Only history geeks like myself remember who Woodrow Wilson was. But not too many people do. Ask him who Jesus is, they know him. So here you go. The Lord is great, and the Lord, another prophecy the Lord said didn't come true, that his word will live forever. And who is his word? Well, according to John, in the four Gospels, Jesus is the word, right? He is the word of God. So the word is well remembered to this day. He'll never go away. Oh, no. Amen. Let's go on to our next verse. When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all the sayings, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. And you see, again, throughout Jesus' life, there always has been a witness account about his life. People who knew him, these shepherds, knew that he was born. And I'm sure when these shepherds grew older and they heard about this man, Jesus, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven was here, they knew he was the babe they saw in the manger, and they knew what he was about to do. And Jesus did shake a lot of things up. He healed people. He did everything the prophecy said the Messiah would do. From the dead, he healed the lepers. He gave the deaf hearing. He gave the blind to see. Everything he said did come true. Which, freaked out the leadership in Jerusalem and the Roman world at that time, because this was not supposed to happen. And yet, the Jewish leadership knew the truth about what Jesus was doing, and somehow they thought they could stop the prophecy from coming true. just as King Herod thought so when he killed these babies up to 2 years of age to try to stop the prophecy of the Lord our God from ever happening, which is a very arrogant thing when you think about it, that we could somehow stop a prophecy that God proclaims is, will come. But people who do not walk with the Lord somehow think they could change things. Or, of course, they walk with their master, who is the devil, who is trying to stop prophecy from coming true. But if he ever stopped it, no. Everything God has said has happened. Because who is in control but our Lord? Our Lord. Let's go on to the next verse. When the 8 days were completed for circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves, two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. He came in spirit into the temple, brought in the child Jesus to perform the customs of the law regarding to him. He took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of the people for Israel." And see, Simeon knew the scripture. A light and revelation for the Gentiles. Remember, I believe it was in Isaiah, where Isaiah the prophet told by the Lord the Messiah would be the light for the Gentiles. And those out there trying to dispute this, think about this for a second, my friends. If not for Jesus, if not for anyone that was not born in the Jewish faith, if not for Jesus, no Gentile would know who Adam and Eve was, who Abraham was. They wouldn't know Moses. They wouldn't know David. They sure wouldn't know who Daniel was. But because of Jesus, we do. It's because of Jesus that his holy all flesh came upon mankind, not just for the Jews, but for everyone. His spirit came upon the earth, upon all flesh. And that is the love story right there, because he wanted that communication with all of mankind again. And Jesus himself, he is the one who represents you and I. He is the one who tells the Father, give that person a second chance. They're mine. They're mine. And the Father listens to them. Whatever you've done in your life that you think that you could never be forgiven for, I take you to the man upon the cross who is dying near Jesus. You probably did so many wicked things that if you heard what he had done, you yourself would have the audacity to question Jesus by telling this man, today you would be with me in paradise. And why did he say that to that man? Because the man only said, because he had a change of heart, did he not now? And he said with a changed heart, what we did, we deserve. But this man hasn't done anything. And he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus knew that this man's sins are messy. But at this point, he was taking this man's sin away from him and putting them upon himself. And he told this man, today, you will be with me in paradise. In paradise. He intervened for this man. He intervened for this man before the Father upon the cross. And his words brought this man into the kingdom of heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said to him. And Simeon blessed them to Mary, his mother. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce. So the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There is also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phethuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until her marriage. And then, as a widow until she was 84, she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at the very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting redemption in Jerusalem. And see right even right there. Again, prophets, when he was a babe, came to him, praising him, man and woman. Praise the Lord right there. Telling others about his coming, about his coming. And that was shaking up the Roman world right there, which, and eventually forced Herod's action, trying to stop the prophecy. And that's what I'm saying, my friends. This is the love story that God has given us, a love story that he wanted you and I back, a love story that he was willing to pay the price to die upon the cross so you and I may live. A love story that we too could come home again. Because our home was always with God, or who is our Father. Our home was always with Him when we were born. But because of our ways, we separated ourselves from Him by being selfish in sinful ways. But returning back to the Lord through Jesus Christ, who paid this heavy price for you and I, it is through Him we are saved. And it's Him who is the one that goes before the Father and pleads our case before the Father. He is the one who was our defense attorney. He is the one who says he, she is one of us. He, she is our family. And by grace, he gives us this grace. So my friends, remember this. Remember, Christ isn't throwing you away if you come to the altar. He is welcoming you in open arms to come home. He is welcoming you back home in his loving arms. He has not rejected you. He wants you. If he rejected you, he never would have died upon that cross. So come home. Go and sin no more. And walk with your Father in heaven. Be with him. Be with your Father in heaven. And walk humbly with your God, who is your Father. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord. Let's read. Let's finish up this chapter. Each year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day. They looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. And for 3 days they found him. And after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who had heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why are we looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's business, in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. You see, he knew who he was right there. And he showed obedience to his parents, did he not now? See, he had to go through this. Think about it. Why was he born? Why did he have to grow up born? Because he had to experience what everyone else had to experience when they were growing up. Been a rebellious child. Instead of that, he showed obedience towards Joseph and Mary. Because he knew that was the right thing to do. Right? He showed his obedience. And he went through all the temptations, even through his teen years. In your teen years, what do you want to be? You want to be your own person. And you rebel against your parents more so than you probably were when you were a lot younger. And as a man, a lot of temptations right then. And we know he had temptations in his ministry because Satan offered him world power. World power, he promised the same thing to Adam, did he not now? To be equal with God? Of course, Satan didn't offer Jesus to be equal with him, of course. The funny thing is, Satan was never equal with Jesus in the first place, number one. So it was kind of an insult to tell Jesus, who created the devil when he was Lucifer, bow down to worship me. Like, why shouldn't Jesus worship Satan, since he was the one who created Satan? We made him an angel. He wasn't gonna do that. And the audacity to say, bow down and I give you all these things in the world is Jesus's anyway. He was offering something he already had. The only thing he was giving Jesus was evil that existed in the world. The evil thing, sinful thing that happened in the world since Adam fell. And Jesus rebuked that, did he not now? Because he knows a way out of getting out of the chains that Satan has on humanity. And he still has this way of doing it to this day. You want to be free from your sin? You want to get out of the problems that's been burning in your life? Come to Christ Jesus. He is your mediator between he and the Father. He is the one that gets you into heaven. He is the one who judges you. He wants his Holy Spirit to be within you, to cleanse you from your sin. He loves you. He said this upon the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Our mediator right there, our mediator wants you to be a part of his house. Our mediator loves you that much. He wants you to be part of his family. So whatever is plaguing you, whatever is holding you back, whatever is making you feel that you cannot go on anymore, there's good news on the way, because Christ will bring you freedom. Freedom that you long for. Freedom that he wants to give you. Freedom he wishes to bless you with. Freedom in his grace. Put your burdens upon him, and he'll take it away, and wipe your tear away, and bring joy into your life. He can do it. That's why he is the only one who stands before God and says, yes, you are forgiven. And again, as I was saying, do not try to hold a past sin and say that God will never forgive me, because if he gave the man on the cross, did he not know? And if we knew what this man did to be hung upon the cross, you and I would be thinking ghastly thoughts about what this man did. But we only know this man about him saying, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Why? Because his sins are forgiven, and his name in the Lamb's Book of Life was written at that moment when his heart changed and he wanted to be remembered by Jesus. And Jesus told him, today you would be with me in paradise. Another thing, did he not forgive Peter? Yes, he did. Peter, who denied him three times. And I'm sure Peter thought what he did not deserve forgiveness. But Jesus didn't think so. For he forgave him. And you see, that is the heart of our Lord. You want to know about the Lord of the Old Testament? Read about Jesus in the New Testament and you understand who the Father is. And you understand what's going on. The Lord doesn't want you and I to be separated from him. The Lord wants you and I to be a part of him. So the greatest love story he ever did for you and I was become a man. That's how much he thought of you and I, to become a man named Jesus. Go through the same trials and tribulations as we go through upon this earth. And by going through these same things, he did not sin and became that sacrificial lamb who would save us from ourselves so we would not have to die and perish in a sinful way. That we are now a new creature. What he did was, through the Spirit, he made us reborn. He made us alive. Before, we were the walking dead. We were walking dead spiritually. But now, we are the living. We are the living because we live through Christ. We are the living in Christ. We are a part of him. And that is why, when the Lord God looks upon you and I, when we are accepted as our Savior, that he sees Jesus in us, because he is in us, because his Holy Spirit, God, Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, lives within you and I. So we are changed. And through his Holy Spirit, he cleanses us. He helps us grow in each day, to grow in his word, to understand his word, to live in his word every single day. That is what he does for you and I. And with that, we have freedom. Freedom of the chains that held us back. Freedom of depression. Freedom of anger. Freedom from lust. Freedom from substance abuse. Freedom from all the stuff that brings us down in life. Freedom from jealousy. Freedom from all the things that makes you and I separated from God, because we're not separated from him anymore. We're now his. We are his love child. We are his, and he loves us, and we love him, and we love everyone because he loves everyone. We are on the same thinking wave as Jesus. We have the same heart as Jesus. So we love everyone who's in our presence. So hold back when you feel that green-eyed monster come upon you, when you feel jealousy come upon you, and you all of a sudden stop talking to a person or treat the person nasty because you're angry with them. Do not get angry with anyone when you walk with Christ. Have his heart and love them instead. And do not be jealous, because jealousy will only lead to nothingness. Look what happened to Cain when he was jealous. He only had to change his own heart, and God would have favored him as his brother. But he did not change his heart. Instead, he let his jealousy rule his heart, then he murdered his brother. When you walk with Christ Jesus, let the jealousy go. Let everything that is plaguing you in your life, go and give it to him. Don't go back to the old ways. Walk with Christ Jesus in the new and be with him forever. Walk with him forever and be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who redeemed us. He is the one who saved us from ourselves. He is the one who makes us better. He is the one who wants us to be like him, to walk with him, to talk like he does, and to be perfect as him by walking in his presence. With Jesus, everything is a new day. He washes us clean and makes us whole. He is our Redeemer, the one who stands before the Father and defends us. Even when we do make mistakes, he is the one who tells the Father we are worth being part of his family, even in that mistake. Because Jesus will not give up upon you, because he still wants you with him. So for this Christmas time, for this Christmas season, remember why the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is important. Christmas is not for you and I to be selfish, to spend ourselves into debt by buying presents for other people, than worried about paying the bills because we don't have any more money. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Christmas songs or hanging up a Christmas tree. Christmas is about our Lord and Savior and why he was born. He came into this world to bring truth and light, salvation for all. And that's what he was born for, to be the sacrificial lamb for you and I. So, my friends, this Christmas season and all through your life, remember, it's not about you and your life. It's about him, the one who saved our lives. And if we could follow the one who saved our lives, he did upon the earth, and walk the way he did in his footsteps, and be the people, he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my child." Remember, he is the one that waited for you like the prodigal son's father waited for him to come home. He is the one who celebrates when you come home and say, "Abba, Father, forgive me, Lord, for my sins that I have done. Forgive me for my own behavior that has caused others grief. Forgive me for what I did to myself. For you, O Lord, you saved me. You saved me. You cleansed me. You made me whole again. Something I never felt before in my life, you gave to me, to my heart. And whatever happened to this world, I know you were with me. And the happiness I feel comes through you, because your spirit lives within me, O Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one, the Alpha and the Omega, who created all, who saved all. You, who are unselfish, became the suffering servant, so I may live, that we may live, through you, O Lord Jesus Christ, so we can live a holy life through you, O Lord Jesus Christ. You who are perfect, O Lord Jesus Christ, you who make everything so perfect. Thought of me, thought of us, as we were down and out, but you did not give up on us. You came to us and made us whole, and cleansed us and made us whole. And we are now a part of you, as you are a part of us. You made us, O Lord. O Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being unselfish, for coming down and helping us out. You're still with us today, and one day you'll come here physically, but your spirit's with us now. Help us grow with you, dear Lord, and help keep on making us grow. And I pray for our brothers and sisters out there who have accepted you, to fully accept your blessings upon them, that they do not follow old things of jealousy, of hate, of going back to their old ways that separated themselves from you, that they keep on growing within you, that they have faith in you, that whatever happens in their life, that you are with them, that they'll praise you through the good times and through the bad times, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you always be with them, Lord Jesus Christ, as you promised, and you always keep your promises, Lord Jesus Christ. For you, Lord Jesus Christ, are the Alpha and the Omega. And we thank you, O Lord Jesus, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight. I'd like to thank you all for calling in. And for those who listen to this program later, I thank you as well. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will touch you through his Holy Spirit, this message you want me to deliver to you. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your all's life, and may you always grow in Jesus. And I say this in the name of Jesus, who reigns forever. Amen and amen.